In the psalm that Mike will soon read, the people are facing the end of the kingdom and nation founded by David. The psalm singer reminds us that despite the treacherous and difficult time, the people should give thanks and remember that God will care for the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them better than any earthly king in Israel's past has ever done. How will God do this? That's where we come in. We are called to be the hands and the eyes and the ears and the heart of God in our world. But we could probably all admit that it's hard to do that. And sometimes it's hard to do that because we don't notice those around us. Often the second story that you will hear about the widow in Mark's gospel is about sacrificial giving. It's easy to see how for generations this nameless widow has been held up as a positive example of financial giving, since she gives all that she has, while other wealthy people barely give anything. And yet, while reading this scripture passage in relation to the puppet song that we just heard, the words are in your bulletin, by the way, I keep hearing a different message. Maybe Jesus is using this widow's story as a way of telling the disciples back then and the disciples now, you and I, that we should be noticing those who are invisible, like widows, like women, like children. Could it be that Jesus used that story to draw our attention to the widow so that we could draw our attention to those in our society who are all too often ignored? Too much of the time, like the disciples long ago, we don't notice those who are around us, who are facing injustice and who need to be fed and loved and clothed and nurtured. May the words of these passages be received with open ears, eyes, and hearts.
First reading today is Psalm 146, which can be found on page 570 of the Old Testament in your pew Bibles. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan with the widow. But the way of the wicked brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. The second reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 through 44, on page 48 of the New Testament in your pew Bible. As he taught, he said, "Beware the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with the respect in the marketplaces, and have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearances say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." May God bless our understanding of this reading.
The singer and songwriter of the song that you heard the puppet troupe perform to, his name is Matthew West, and for his latest album, he decided he would do something different. So he reached out to all his fans and asked them to send letters with their life story. And so then he went to a cabin in Tennessee for 2 months and read all those letters. These are his words. During those months, my eyes were open to see the world outside my door like I had never witnessed before. It was as if a veil had been lifted, allowing me a rare look into the lives of everyday people. I read joyful stories about adoption and cancer survivors. I read heartbreaking stories of abuse and broken homes. And with every look into someone's life, something began to stir in my own. That song that the puppet troupe performed today is like something that's gone viral here at First Church. You see, Linda Sill, one of our active church members, played it for our Mission Immersion Leadership Team meeting, and I happened to come a little late to that meeting, and I've never seen a happier group of people when I walked into the library, and I said, "Why is everyone smiling?" And someone said, "It was the devotion." Linda played that song that you heard with an amazingly powerful video. And since that day, it's been played for many groups at First Church. I think because it resonates with us. My own little world, population me, was written on one of those nights that Matthew was in that cabin in Tennessee because he was humbled by the realization that he was tremendously blessed. And that his life had been so very safe. And he says, "For the first time, I was truly sharing in the hurt and the pain of those other people who I had never seen before. My eyes were never open." Matthew talks about how that song is pivotal in his career and how we must all go outside of ourselves, look beyond our population one, and begin to see a world where we can truly make a difference. We live in a world where it is population one. You know, it's all about the individual and what we can do to make a difference. But our scripture passages tell us something different. That psalm, it says, "Praise God, give thanks always, even in the really hard times." And then that story of a widow, I'm convinced that maybe Jesus told it to us so that we would notice the people around us in new ways, that we would open our eyes and our hearts. You see, some of us are lucky enough to grow up in families where we are taught from a very early age how to live and to be faithful people. Ellen and Helen are twins, 87 years old, from the South. They grew up in a family where they were sharecroppers, and so they worked very hard and had very little. But they tell that there are three truths that were taught from day one in their family. There is one God who should be praised always. There is one race, and it's the human race. That's a big deal so long ago. And if you're African American. And three, you should always leave the last piece of bread on the table because you don't know who will need it. It's a good one, right? Should always leave the last piece of bread on the table because you don't know who will need it. Ellen and Helen explain how they had so very little and yet they shared so much. So they got married and had kids. They started a little restaurant together, the two sisters, and it didn't really work out. So they went back to school, became nurses, and it was there that an idea was born. You see, Helen worked with people who were very poor, and she would look out in the waiting room and see people that were hungry, that didn't have rides, the basic necessities of life. And something stirred in her. She remembered those three truths. She remembered that she was blessed, She remembered that there was one human race. It didn't matter if you were rich or poor. And she remembered that that last piece of bread on the table was supposed to be for someone else. And so she went to her sister and said, I have an idea. We need to start a kitchen where we cook all homemade meals and serve them. But their lives were too full. So when they retired at 62, they decided now was the time to start Love's Kitchen. 82 years old, remember? Like, that's amazing. They didn't take retirement. They started a soup kitchen in Knoxville, Tennessee. 25 years later, it's still going. But they faced lots of hurdles along the way. First, where were they going to make these meals in the mid-1980s or late 1980s when they started it? So they went to their church, and they did it for a few months at their church, like a month or two, and the pastor came to them and said, we don't want those undesirables here. They couldn't even cook in their own church. So then they went to the city, and the city renovated a building that was in downtown and for $1 a year rented that space back to the ladies for Love's Kitchen. Time passed, volunteers grew. They only actually had meals 2 days a week, but then for the other days, they would give out meals for homebound people. Then 2008 hit. We all know what that was, the financial crisis, and the need was high, and the donations were low, and it was a crisis time for them, and they thought they were going to have to shut their doors, and yet those three truths that they grew up with were on their hearts and minds. And so a TV station, a radio station, and Panera, interestingly enough, came together and in 3 weeks raised $300,000 so they could keep their doors open. I want to go visit the soup kitchen and just give those ladies a hug. 87 years old, they have their own health issues, and yet they're making food. Yes, to fill people's bellies, but I think it's more than that, to fill their souls. You know what their motto is? Everybody is God's somebody. Imagine if we lived in a world where we treated each other like God is in you. Everybody is God's somebody. So we often say here in Glastonbury, there is no need. We're in our little bubble. Most of us don't have a lot of need. Thank God. And we should thank God for that. You should come every other Wednesday when Mobile Food Share is here and the line is long of people of all different races and ages. And our sisters and brothers down at St. James knew that there was a need. So they started a paper pantry. Because did you know that on SNAP, aka food stamps, you can't buy toilet paper or soap or shampoo or diapers? So there are people that have to choose. And so our sisters and brothers at St. James wrote us this amazing email as if First Church had given them the world. And really, it was just a small monetary donation and Jim Hartung's time, which is amazing. And they said, it only started in September. They said, already, the stories of these people are rolling in. It's like the mother whose husband died tragically with three small children, and she came and she stayed for the entire 2 hours to talk, to be a part of that community. Yeah, I think she ate a pastry or drank a cup of coffee, but she came to be connected. And you know what? The next month, she brought back her three kids. Or it's like the Vietnam vet who prided himself on always helping others, but had fallen on rough times, came to get this bag that has toilet paper and paper towels and soap and toothpaste. Or the couple whose husband just had a heart attack and the wife got laid off and were ashamed to be there, but came because they needed those items. Sometimes it takes us opening our eyes and our hearts to see the need right here in front of us. We can go about our lives with the blinders on, saying, it's population me. But that's not what our faith calls us to do. Our faith calls us to give thanks always, even when it's really hard to find those blessings. And our faith calls us to go out into the world proclaiming loudly and boldly, everybody is God's somebody.